All right. Well, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Father, in the name of Jesus, we again are grateful for the opportunity to worship, for the opportunity to gather and to celebrate. Lord, we do thank God for this nation. And we ask, oh Lord, that you would awaken our hearts, that, Lord, a great awakening would take place and would sweep our hearts back to you and your presence. And now, Lord, as we approach your word, I ask that this would be a challenging word. It would expose our hearts and draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 1, it says, "Would to God you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which you have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him." The message I want to share this morning is just simply called The Beauty of Simplicity. The Beauty of Simplicity. As we are talking about this weekend, as we talk about our nation and we talk about the birth of our nation, one of the things I like to point out, what I think is so one of the coolest things about Independence Day for us as a nation, is that the United States is the only nation in the world that celebrates their independence based on a written document. Most countries, most nations who have a, you know, an Independence Day, they base it upon some type of battle or some type of war that they fought in order to win their independence. Now, I know that the Revolutionary War is also known as the War for Independence, but the Revolutionary War was going on when we signed the Declaration of Independence. So we basically got together, a bunch of guys got together and wrote a document that basically said King George is a chowderhead and we desire to be free. And they all signed it at the bottom, and now we celebrate July 4th as our celebration day, our Independence Day, a written document. And I just want you to know this morning that we celebrate our freedom because a written document, because the Word of God has declared to us that we are free people by the blood of Jesus Christ and by the grace of God. Amen. We hold these truths to be self-evident. And that's, as Don was saying, as I want to talk about a simple truth this morning. A simple truth that I believe is the key to our walk with God and victory in our life. This sermon may not necessarily have 3 points because it's something that's just been rolling over in my heart for some time, and I just want to try to present it to you as the best I can. But I want to talk about the beauty of the simple truth of Jesus. How many of you admit that life is complicated? Life is complicated, and it's complicated because we are humans, and humans make everything complicated. Am I right? No matter how simple something can be, we will find a way to dissect it, analyze it, study it, think about it, and talk about it until it takes an astrophysicist and an old priest and a young priest to help us understand and get through it, right? No matter how simple something is, we can take it and mess it up. And the more people that you add to the equation, the more complicated it becomes. That's why many times when you start running a church or an organization by 14 different committees, how many of you know we spend a lot of time talking about stuff, but you don't always get something done? Amen. How many of you felt like you've been in endless meetings and then at the end of the day you still have accomplished zero? I mean, you got paid for it, praise God. Got paid for it. I didn't have to work very hard. I sat around and listened to people chat. But we really didn't get anything accomplished because the more you add to an equation, the more complicated it becomes. And so one of the hardest things in life is to make sure that the main thing always stays the main thing. Amen. Focus is always a struggle when there are so many voices, choices, and options in the world that we live in. And we're not just talking about priorities. We're talking about making sure that the priorities that we have are even the right priorities. Because many times we talk about getting our priorities straight, but the problem is our priorities are wrong.
Amen. That's good.
It don't matter where you put it on the list of priorities. If it's the wrong one, you're still out of balance, right? If we're going to be successful in anything, we need to learn to be focused. We need to be single-minded. We need to be sincere. When the main thing remains the main thing, we can see that freedom comes in the simplicity, not in the complexity. And the same is with Christianity. The main thing is to always make sure that the main thing remains the main thing. Paul, in writing to the Corinthians, is about to go into a defense of himself and his ministry. And he does this, as he says at the beginning, he's acting as a fool, because this is not how he usually is. So Paul, actually, if you read through this chapter, Paul is being somewhat sarcastic. But he is using his defense for himself and for his ministry, because the Corinthians were surrounded and had the presence of false teachers, and the false teachers were affecting the church. False teachers had come in and were giving them, and that's why Paul even says, you know, you've heard about another Jesus, and you've heard about another spirit, and you've heard about another gospel, and you've borne with them. In other words, you've put up with it. So, because you've put up with them, you're going to put up with me for just a moment. Because you've allowed this to come in, you have missed out on hearing the truth. And I want to just tell you the truth for just a minute. And isn't that what we should do when we come to God, when we come to the Word of God, when we come to church? Our desire should be to come to hear truth. Whatever that truth does to us, whatever it exposes, whatever hurt it may cause, whatever uncomfortable, inconvenient feeling it may bring to us, truth is what we need to hear. Paul wanted to establish his resume, his reputation with them, so that they would remember what was most important. And Paul's fear was that with all these false teachings and with all these alternate truths being presented, that they would drift away from the main point. The main point, the main thing of the show. That they would drift away from the source of their freedom and hope. And what is it? Paul said it's not complicated. It is the simplicity that is in Christ Jesus our Lord, or the simple truth of knowing Him. Other translations take this phrase and say sincere and pure devotion to Christ, or pure and undivided devotion, simple and pure devotion, simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ, complete and pure devotion. Paul was saying to them, the main thing is that Jesus is all that we need, that our allegiance, our loyalty, our highest devotion belongs to Him. Amen. We celebrate freedom this weekend, the birthday of our nation. And this nation was founded on the lives of personal fortunes of men and women who were completely devoted to the concept of freedom. This nation was not just founded by intellectuals and thinkers, but men who took up arms to defend the concept that all men are created equally. The Declaration of Independence ends by saying, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. Their devotion motivated them to place the idea of a free society above their own, and above their own comfort, and above their own lives. Many died and even went broke in creating this dream called America. Nathan Hale, when he was about to be hanged, said, I only regret that I have but one life to lose for my country. With men like this, our nation had a backbone. They were tough, they were strong, they were courageous, they were unafraid, they were not easily offended, they were not looking for safe places. They had a backbone, and they had a simple purpose, to exalt the inalienable rights given to us by God in the grand experience of a new nation. And this weekend, we don't just celebrate our freedom, we celebrate their courage and their devotion. We celebrate freedom, land of the free and home of the brave. And it reminds us, as we celebrate this weekend, it reminds us of the price that was paid. And this is what we take for granted. This is what we always take for granted when we are blessed and when we have things. We take for granted what it took for us to have those blessings. We take for granted what it took to have freedom. Church, freedom is easy for us because it was hard for them. And as we celebrate freedom in this country, as Don said, we have to remind ourselves that true freedom comes because of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That the simple truth of the gospel is that everyone who will believe upon Jesus and turn from their sin, they will know what it means to be free. And that means no matter what nation we find ourselves in. You know that every country in the world has a 4th of July? It's on July 4th.
Right.
Have you ever had anybody ask you when the 4th of July is?
Yes.
It's on July 4th every single year. The 4th day of July. But not every nation obviously has an Independence Day like we have. But I'm always reminded on times like this when we talk about our nation and we talk about the blessings that we have, I'm always reminded that I'm connected to a group of people. I'm connected to a universal church that surrounds the entire globe. That when we'll be shooting off fireworks, because what better way to celebrate freedom than to blow stuff up? But when we are celebrating freedom, when we are celebrating freedom and the blessings of this greatest nation, I'm a part of a kingdom that surrounds the entire globe. And that every day of my life is Independence Day because of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because we have to remind ourselves, church, Jesus didn't die for the American dream. Jesus didn't die for our pursuit of personal success. He did not die for our desire for comfort, and He did not die for our desire for happiness. When we mix our pursuit of Jesus with these things, we have lost sight of our simple purpose. Amen. It will always lead to complicated dissatisfaction.
Amen.
And we want to recognize that our freedom is simple for us because it was hard for Jesus. Jesus took the complications created by sin and made it simple for us to believe. Repent and believe the gospel. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe with your heart that He is risen. It is simple, but yet it is profound. And because of this beautiful, amazing redemption that has brought us true freedom to the depths of our soul, we are called to the simplicity of a sincere and pure devotion to Christ. That our lives would be given in sacrifice to live completely and fully for the glory of the one who has redeemed us. This is our simple purpose. This is our simple calling. Jesus is enough. Period. Again, our allegiance, our loyalty, and our highest devotion belongs to Him. Let me tell you this morning, sin complicates everything. When religion becomes complicated, it's always a sign that it's drifting away from the realities and the centralities of the faith. If religion starts to become complicated, it's drifting away from the truth. The world around us is getting increasingly complex, and it's because it is drifting farther and farther from God. And Paul warns us of this reality as he points back to the garden. He tells the Corinthians that because of these false teachers, there is a danger of their heart being corrupted. That they are going to be corrupted from the simplicity of Christ.
Amen.
So he takes us all the way back to the garden. He says, I fear that as Eve was deceived by the serpent, that you would give in to the subtle lies of the other sermons and truth that you have heard that would push you away from the simplicity of Christ. I mean, think about it for just a moment. In the garden, there was one command. Do not eat from this tree. There was one command. Adam and Eve were made for the glory of God. They were made for the presence of God. They were made to find their satisfaction and their fulfillment in Him. There's one tree. One tree. One command. Do not eat. And see, the corruption that led to the fall was that Adam and Eve believed that they needed something else besides God. This was God's tree, right? God said, that's my tree. You don't touch it. It's mine. It's the knowledge of good and evil. But the enemy used it to pull on our downward affections. Our affections that stay many times connected to earth. They were made to be satisfied by the presence and the glory of God, but their hearts were corrupted by the temptation to rely on something else. They lost focus. Their single-minded focus was blurred by the lie of the enemy. And once sin entered the world, everything became complicated. Man was cursed. The earth was cursed. And a flood of laws entered into the equation. We went from one command, don't eat from this tree, to hundreds of commands. Because sin entered into the world. The law was not just a list of do's and don'ts. They were life-saving boundaries that were meant to point us back to the glory of God and His holiness. Once we replace the presence of God with anything else, we will find our lives filled with complicated laws and lifeless religion. Once we decide that we need something else other than Jesus, then we fill our lives with complicated laws and lifeless religion. And sometimes we look at the law, and a lot of people say, you know, I don't want to serve God because there are so many laws, there are so many commandments, and that's because they're missing out on the simplicity of the gospel. Yeah. The law, again, in the Old Testament, the Bible says it wasn't evil. The law is holy. But the holiness of the law is meant to reveal something to us. The message of the law is simply this: shut up. The message of the law is shut your mouth. Because what the law does is it condemns us all. We have no excuses. We have no justifications. We go to open our mouth and try to justify what we are, and the law says, shut it. Shut it. You have nothing to say. You have no defense. You have no justifications. We are lost, broken, separated people. Sin has complicated and destroyed everything. It has pushed us away from what we were originally created for. Yes, sir. Paul said that he had committed the Corinthians to only one husband, and that husband was Christ. The corruption of the false teachers around them had caused them to lose their pure and sincere devotion to the one they had committed their hearts to. The Corinthians were cheating on God. And like the Galatians, they thought they could start in the spirit and find some type of completion in the flesh. Their hearts were straying. Their passions were being drained. They were growing empty because they were full of the wrong things. Amen. And that doesn't always make sense. How can you be empty when you're full? But many times, we are empty. You ever heard of empty calories? You're full of calories, you're full of energy, but you're actually empty. Many times, we find our lives in an empty place, even though we are shoving everything we can down our gullet. We're putting everything we can in our hearts, but yet our heart is still empty. They were being drained. They were growing empty because they were full of the wrong things. Church, the simplicity of the gospel is Jesus is enough, period. Our devotion to Jesus must come from a pure, sincere, undivided, simple heart. The main thing is not what we believe, but in whom we believe. Because Jesus is the main thing. There is no Jesus and something else. This is what leads to dissatisfaction. This is what leads to frustration. We are made for His presence. We are made to bring Him glory. And what is so awesome about bringing Him glory is that what brings Him glory is what brings us the most joy. His word is something that we desire, even when it hurts. Our prayer lives are life-giving, even when it's inconvenient. Why? Because we know that these are paths to His presence. When the word of God makes us uncomfortable, we humbly submit because we know that it is for our joy and it's for His glory. You know what? I know at all points in time there are sermons that we've heard, passages of Scripture that we wrestle over that maybe makes us a little bit uncomfortable. But when it comes to truth and when it comes to receiving the truth that sets us free, There are always going to be times where we're uncomfortable or we wrestle with it. There are always going to be times that we hear scriptures or we're going to hear truth that kind of go contrary to the world that we live in. Am I right? We're of a different kingdom. We are citizens of a different country. We don't belong to this place. And so a lot of people that wrestle and fight and struggle over the Word of God or don't want to obey what the Word of God says, I kind of compare it to children who are trying food. Now, don't get me wrong. There are a lot of adults in here that eat like kids, right? Thank you, Don. Picky eaters. Any picky eaters in here? Anybody that's a picky eater? Put it in front of me, I'll at least try it, all right? I just thought I'd let you know. But it's like those who, have you ever asked you say, hey, you want some Brussels sprouts? Anybody like Brussels sprouts? I like Brussels sprouts. I think they're good. Hey, you like Brussels sprouts? I hate Brussels sprouts. You ever eaten them? No. I hate them, but I've never tried them. Amen. Asparagus? Anybody like asparagus? I tried cooking asparagus for the first time the other evening. It was a little too greasy because I cooked it in oil with some garlic. And I ate it, though. I'm not eating it raw. No, I can't eat it raw. I normally like raw vegetables better, actually, but... You say, yeah, you like broccoli? You know, hey, try some broccoli. I hate broccoli. Have you ever eaten it? No. And lots of times, that's the way we are with the Word of God. I don't like how this passage of Scripture makes me feel, and the problem is we've never tasted it. Amen. We've never tasted it. Well, I don't like what the Bible, you know, I don't like that the Bible tells me I'm supposed to forgive. I would rather just carry this grudge around with me for the rest of my life because that's the way I think it ought to be, but you've not tasted of what it means to forgive.
Amen.
I don't like what the Bible says about sexuality, so I just feel like I should be able to do whatever I want with my sex life. Hey, it's a free country, right? But you've never tasted of what it means to walk in purity or holiness.
Amen.
The problem is that we've presented the Word of God so many times as something that tastes bad, as though we have to apologize for what the Bible says. I don't have to apologize for what the Word of God says. It is in here that we find our greatest fulfillment, our greatest joy, our greatest satisfaction. Holiness is not a drag, church. Walking in purity is not a drag. It's not something that we do because we are required to. It's because our hearts have been consumed and filled with the reality of the simplicity of Christ and His presence.
Yes.
Come on, some of you have never tried something and then you finally eat it and you're like, where's this been all my life? You ever done that before? I don't like it, but I'll go ahead and try it. And the next thing you know, you're spoiled. That's all you want, right? Because you've tasted and you've seen. And church, I'm telling you, when you find yourself getting frustrated with the things of God, it's probably because you're complicating things. It's probably because you're getting complicated in your pursuit of God. When reading the Bible or when our prayer lives become something more than just some pursuit of God's presence, then we will get dissatisfied.
Right.
When we forget that our devotion is to lead us to knowing Him, then prayer and Bible reading and church attendance and service will no longer just be religious actions.
Amen.
But if we forget this, then they will replace the simplicity that is in Christ. We get burned out many times in our Christian life because we are in this place. That Paul says, I fear that through all of these teachings and through all of these things you've heard and through all of these religious activities, you will forget the simplicity of Christ.
Amen.
We were saved for Him.
Amen.
We were redeemed for Him.
Yes.
We were bought for His glory.
Yes.
We will always lean towards the complexity of lifeless religion when our hearts are no longer focused on the main thing. God is simple. His invitation is simple, but we make it complicated. And so the idols of our heart produce confusion and lead us to create laws and rituals to replace the call of knowing Him. Even though God is simple, it is the indescribable, unsearchable, awe-inspiring beauty of the only one that satisfies the depths of our soul, that leads us to find in Him what we cannot find in anything else.
Amen.
And this really, truly is the call of our hearts. I can't, I'm trying to get across to you the beauty and the unsearchable love and grace of the one who has redeemed your soul. That we come to this church this morning, yes, as needy people, but our greatest need is Him. Our greatest need is His presence. What happened to prayer just being a way in which we could see and experience and taste that the Lord is good and see the beauty of His holiness and His righteousness and His goodness and His awe-inspiring, universe-containing glory? What happened to spending time in the Word of God simply because it exposes our hearts and reveals to us the heart of God and reveals to us the beauty of Christ?
Yes. Amen.
See, when our prayer lives and our Bible reading become a way in which we try to prove ourselves from God, for God and to God, we have slipped away from the simplicity that is Christ.
Amen.
Look at how sin distorts everything. It convinced many of us for years that coming to Christ was the wrong thing to do. How many of you remember struggling over conviction, fighting and resisting it? With so many different reasons of why you shouldn't surrender your life to Christ, and reasons that even made sense to our brain. And so sin has distorted us from the truth of the reality of coming to Christ. And then it convinces us as Christians that we still need to hang on to things to complete us or to satisfy us. Sin leads us to simple idolatry. And the Bible says that idolatry is spiritual adultery. That we can find satisfaction, joy, and contentment in this world. Sin is rooted in self. We need to remember the simple purpose of Christ and His presence. Our hearts find its fulfillment in Him. We live, as I said, we live in an awesome, amazing country where we have freedom of religion, freedom of ideas, freedom of speech, at least for now. The people have so many opinions and ideas that we live in a country of a smorgasbord of religions, that you can go to the buffet of religion and choose whichever one tastes good for today. But here's the thing about buffets. This is what I've noticed about buffets. For me. If I go to a restaurant and order a meal, I eat it and I'm done. But if there's still food up there waiting, I'm not done. I'm kind of a grazer sometimes. It's like when you go to a party and there's a big spread laid out. You go by the table at least once every 5 minutes, don't you? 4 hours later, you're still eating on that meat that's been sitting out, exposed in the sunlight for the last 4 hours. We just eat and eat and eat and eat and eat. So we've gorged ourselves. We have gorged ourselves in this nation with so many ideas and purposes, so many religions and thoughts and so many philosophies. We have filled our brains with so much knowledge. We have so much technology. We have things that do things for us. We don't even hardly have to move. We can ask questions of machines and they give us the answer. We have so much stuff, but somehow we're still dissatisfied. We're still empty. They keep bringing food out on the buffet and it's still not satisfying. And so what we continue to do is eat and gorge and fill ourselves with so much stuff. We tell each other that if you make a certain amount of money, then you'll be happy. That if you'll get such and such a job, then you'll be content and fulfilled. Well, as a single person, you'll never be complete. You always got to look for somebody to get married to. If you just find that person that completes you. Am I right? Especially in Christianity. It's tough sometimes being single in the church. Because It's good, God said, that a man not be alone. And so we're like, you need to get married. You need to be satisfied. You need to get married. Then when you get married, when you have kids, it'll complete you. There's always something else we're trying to add to our lives. Well, if you just lived at the beach, then your life will be complete. And see, that's the point of what this world has to offer. You can only have so much of it. You can only have so much of it. Your money only buys so many things. Right?
True.
A honeymoon only lasts so long.
Amen.
Your kids are only cute for a short period of time. What this world has to offer only lasts so long. And I can tell you this much, people that live at the beach, they're tired of it. They don't want sand in their shoes anymore. We go down there, it's like, look, it's the ocean. It's been there all the time. It's not going anywhere. They've seen it. I've been there. I've done that. Because it doesn't matter where you live, or whom you live with, or what job you work, or what you add to your life, hell and destruction are never full. So the eyes of man are never satisfied.
Amen.
Do you know you can be complete as a single person? You don't have to be married. You know that you can be complete in the job that you're in? Do you know that you can be complete in the relationships that you have? Do you know that you can be complete in the house you live in? Because the message of the gospel is Jesus is enough. Period. Period. And this, anytime we start complicating that statement is when we get frustrated. But I need Jesus to do this in my life. Jesus is enough. I need him to make me feel a certain way. Jesus is enough. I need him to answer this prayer. I need him to heal this. I need him to deliver this. I need him to save them. I need him to do this. Jesus is enough.
Amen.
Period. We spend so much time working on so many other relationships that it's hard that we forget that it's hard to fix our horizontal relationships if we haven't fixed our vertical one. We spend so much time trying to fix broken relationships, and we spend so much time trying to work on our marriage relationship, and obviously those things need to be done. But if we don't fix our relationship with God, if we don't find satisfaction in Jesus, what ends up happening is we start projecting our need for fulfillment on something or someone else. And something and someone else will always let us down.
Amen.
Your friends will only make you happy and satisfy you for so long. Your spouse will only satisfy you for so long. Your job will only satisfy you for so long. And when we forget the simplicity of Christ, the simplicity of the fact that my soul is satisfied in him, that he satisfies the longing soul, and he fills the hungry soul with good things. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works unto the children of men. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints. There is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. We spend so much time planning for the future and finding ways to spend our valuable time on earthly enjoyments that we forget our hearts will always be missing something if we forget the simplicity of Christ. My desire here at Living Faith is to lift up Jesus to the point that all of us see the beauty of who he is, to remind us that the depths of our soul find our greatest joy when we are in pursuit of him. That no matter where we find ourselves in this world, we can know peace, we can know fulfillment, we can know joy because of Jesus. That God has called us to enjoy his presence, to enjoy his grace, to enjoy his peace, to enjoy his glory.
Amen.
That when we get on our knees in prayer, and when we open our Bibles to read, or when we set our foot down on the ground to go serve, the desire of our hearts is for the glory of the King. The Lord, I come in prayer because I know that I'm fulfilled in you. I'll pray for my marriage, and I'll pray for my children, and I'll pray for my job, and I'll pray for my friends, and I'll pray for my financial situation. But let it begin with our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Yeah.
Because it is you, God, that satisfies me. These things will bring me temporary fulfillment, but there is an eternal joy and satisfaction and fulfillment in Him. Our frustrations melt away when we get back to the beauty of the simplicity of Christ. Amen. That we belong to Him. The danger is to always believe that what I want is really what I want. And I know that doesn't make sense to us, but let me use this as an example, and I'm about to close. Let me use this as an example. Some of you have probably experienced this. When you were in high school, junior high, high school, you had a crush on someone. You had a crush on someone, and so you pursued that crush. Flirted. Maybe you sent a little note. I like you. Do you like me? Yes, no, maybe. Right? You would talk to your friends and tell your friends to talk to her friends, and they would talk to each other. What do they think? What do they think about me? Do they think I'm cute? I think she's cute. Tell her I think she's cute. But don't tell her that I said she's cute. Just tell her that you know that I think she's cute. You flirt. You pursue it. You get butterflies when you see them. And then finally, they say yes. And you say yes. And you're like, yes! And now you have what you've been pursuing, and now you don't want it. I really didn't want this girl. I'm not really that she gets on my nerves, to be honest with you. Now, all that has to do many times with the fact that we rely so much on feelings, obviously, when we're younger. Right? Teenagers are brain damaged. They are. I mean, physiologically, they're brain... The emotional part of their brain develops faster than the reasoning part of their brain. And so their emotions are going, and their intellect is going, deep, bad, deep, bad, deep. And there seems to be some adults that got hit in the frontal cortex somewhere down the road. But we pursue things, and many times we pursue things and we enjoy the pursuit. We enjoy the pursuit. It's like a dog chasing a car. When it catches it, what's it going to do with it? It's like the greyhound chasing the rabbit. I gotta get him! Gotta get him! And when the race ends, what did I get? Right? And many times that's what this world, we think we know what we want, so we pursue what we want. And in the pursuit of what we want, we enjoy it. But then when we get it, we realize it wasn't even really what we wanted. No matter how beautiful it is or how fulfilling it is at the time. Because when it comes down to this, church, God, yes, God, I believe God is committed to our happiness. He's committed to our fulfillment and our satisfaction. But we have to recognize that, church, this is it seems religious. It seems like we're saying something that is cliche or something that's Christian knees or whatever to say that Jesus is enough. But this is the reality of what we've been called to. That in His presence, the Bible says, there is fullness of joy. Amen. Fullness of joy. That even in the uncomfortable moments when I don't like the fact that God's challenging me in what I believe, if I will only obey, amen, it will bring me the greatest joy and the greatest fulfillment. Yes, sir. Yes. Because self will always hurt me. Don actually mentioned the song, and I had intentions to mention the lyrics, and I just wanted to close with this. There's an old song by a group called Whiteheart, and it's called Independence Day. And as we celebrate this weekend, I want you to listen to the message of the song for just a moment as it pushes us to pursue Christ. The song says, "Hear the myth of modern man. You're the God of your own land. They call you weak, a spineless fool, say you've given up your right to rule. But I've been to the land of me, and I know I was never free. Freedom came when I gave it all away." The song goes on to say, and says, "The world can crown another 100 kings, but I believe in better dreams. They may call it slavery, but the biggest chain I knew was me. So let the idols tumble down. The walls of lies crumble to the ground. I know where salvation can be found. That's why I call it Independence Day. Let the rockets blaze across the sky. Raise the flag of faith up high. Let the doubters call it what they may. It's Independence Day. I've been to the land of me, but I know I was never free. Freedom came when I gave it all away. And that is the challenge of the beauty of Christ, of knowing Jesus. It's not complicated, church. And some of you in here this morning, you may be frustrated or dissatisfied in where you are in your walk with Christ. And I'm just asking you for a moment, step back and ask yourself, am I complicating something that is so beautifully simple? Am I adding to my walk with Christ things that don't need to be added? Am I pursuing God with something else? Because only He satisfies. I'm going to ask, if you will, to bow your heads with me as we prepare our hearts. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that in some way, somehow, that this message has found a place in the depths of our hearts to challenge us and to draw us to You in a greater and more powerful way. I'm asking, Lord, above all things this morning, that Your followers, Your believers in this building would see the beauty of Jesus, the beauty of the God who fills all things, in whom we live and breathe and have our being, that we would be consumed and satisfied with Your glory, with Your goodness, with Your grace. Help us, Lord, to take the crowns off our head and lay them at Your feet. Jesus, You are enough, period. So draw us by Your grace, draw us by Your love, draw us by Your goodness, I pray in Jesus' name. As we focus our attention on the Lord for just a few moments, maybe you're in this room today and you're uncertain of where you stand with God. I'm asking you to consider your eternity. The message of the gospel is not just a message for today. It's a message that shapes you forever. The demand of the gospel is that not only do you respond to it today, but do you recognize it has eternal implications. So I'm asking you this morning, would you consider eternity? Have you found Jesus to be enough? Maybe you're a Christian in here this morning and you are dissatisfied. You're worn out. Church, we've all been there. We've all been there, and maybe we have complicated things a bit. And maybe this morning you're needing a refreshing from just the presence of the Lord. Don't you remember? Don't you remember what it was like when you were redeemed, when you were saved, when you were captured and drawn out of the chains of sin? How free your heart was. How passionate your first love was. How joyful your days were. Because Jesus was enough. Your salvation didn't come because you added something to it. All you did was surrender, and Jesus was enough. You didn't have to jump through hoops. You didn't have to meet anybody's criteria. All you needed was Jesus. What joy, what peace, what satisfaction came. But somewhere on the road to heaven, things got complicated. Somewhere on your walk to the purpose of God for your life, things got weary, tired, you're frustrated, you're aggravated, you've lost some of your joy, your testimony has grown old, your passion has waned. It's not easy to admit things like that, but some of us are going to leave this building today continuing to walk in our frustration and dissatisfaction because our pride won't allow us to say Jesus is enough. There are some of you that are going to go out of here and say, I need another relationship. I need another girlfriend or boyfriend. I need another job. I need more money. I need another drink. And that'll satisfy me. And I can promise you that tomorrow you're going to need it again. And tomorrow you're going to need it again. And tomorrow you're going to need it again. But in Jesus, His satisfaction is not only complete, but it's daily. It's daily. So if you're in here this morning, you're lost and away from God, or Christians, you're weary, you're worn out, and you need encouragement. As we spend a few moments with this song of worship, if you need prayer, if you need a healing in your body, you need delivered, you need God to move in your situation, we'll pray for you, whatever it is. But I want us to challenge our heart today and ask, is Jesus really enough? Is my pursuit of things overtaking my pursuit of Him? Have I replaced the pursuit of God with anything else? If you can and you will, why don't you stand to your feet as we enjoy this song of worship? If you need prayer for any reason, this altar's open. Come in Jesus' name.